Okay, we are live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a very special guest, a returning guest. His name is Don Jeffries. Last name is spelled J-E-F-F-R-I-E-S. We've done a number of shows in the past, but he's just published a fantastic book. I highly recommend the book. The title is Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World. Literally published, I think, a week ago. But great information, superbly well-researched and put everything down. 800 footnotes. Something I can really appreciate, like a real true researcher and historian, really, of this whole COVID event. We've done other shows. You can go back through kind of my catalog. We did one on all of his books are excellent. I recommend them. On Borrowed Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World. And then we also talked, I think my first talk with him was, I invited him on to talk about Huey Long, the Kingfish. A great conversation. Somebody who I didn't know much about, who I really admired, and he died, unfortunately, too young. I was also on, I've been on a show with him and Billy Ray Valentine and other shows with Jordan Vizzo. We've talked about another number of subjects together. Presidential Greatest Hits, Julian Assange, 9/11. So you can go back and look through his name in my catalog. But again, we're going to talk about this newly published book, Masking the Truth. So Don Jeffries, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the wonderful introduction, Wayne. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Excellent. Well, likewise. For people who may not have heard our earlier discussions, can you kind of talk about your background? You've done a lot of books, writing. You're on a lot of podcasts. And then kind of what led you to put together this book, Masking the Truth?
Well, this is my eighth book, so somewhat to my amazement, you know, because I got started relatively late in getting published. And so they're coming out one after another, and I've got, you know, two more on the way, so that may be out this year as well. So I never suffer from writer's block, let's put it that way. So there's just so much to write about, and I can do it. Again, I don't suffer any writer's block. I now have, I do this full time, so I have plenty of time to do it. It's my job. And so the stuff just kind of flows out of me. I get to pick, like, especially on Substack where I write regularly, it's like, trying to figure out what am I going to write about today, you know, because there's just so many things, and the it's all bad, you know. It's I'm become really black pilled, unfortunately, but I don't see a lot of optimism out of there. But I started, you know, basically as a JFK assassination researcher as a teenager in the late 1970s with Mark Lane, who he had a group called the Citizens Committee of Inquiry. I was one of the teenage volunteers there. He was my hero, wrote Rush to Judgment, and that got me, you know, really started down the rabbit hole of the JFK assassination. From there, it was logical to go to MLK and RFK. And then especially when Bill Clinton took office, I call that, when I wrote Hidden History, my first nonfiction book, I called that Conspiracy Central, because there was the hits kept coming. It was like the Beatles of presidential administrations for conspiracies. I mean, it was just nonstop with Waco and Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City and Vince Foster, JFK Jr. So all of those things. And of course, 9/11 was a huge one as well. So electoral fraud, all this stuff. So I you know, put those in my hidden history books. I had Crimes and Cover-ups in American Politics, 1776, 1963, which is a prequel to Hidden History. And actually, the next book out will be like a Hidden History 3 type of thing. I don't know what it's going to be called, but it's a more compendium of these, kind of a combination of the first two books from the American Revolution up through pretty much modern times. And then, you know, the Huey Long thing, I wrote Survival of the Richest, which was basically an economic book and has a whole chapter devoted to Huey Long, who's my hero, and his assassination and everything. And then I wrote Bullyocracy, which is about bullying in schools. And then, as you noted, On Borrowed Fame, about the entertainment world. And now it was kind of natural for me to turn to this, because this is the story that has taken the world over for the last 3 years. I call it the greatest psyop in the history of the world. And I actually started writing it at the beginning, but I didn't know where it was going, because I didn't know where the story was going. I said, you know, where's this narrative going? Is this going to be open-ended? Because the virus didn't burn out. You know, if you believe in science and the viral theory, the virus was supposed to burn out in the spring, like all other previous viruses had. Instead, this thing just keeps coming back. And it has China recently claimed, we're going to have 65 million cases of a new, incredibly powerful COVID this summer. It's like, since when, you know, the viruses are not supposed to be able to do that in the summer. So I didn't know what was happening, the lockdown, all this stuff. And I said, this is a huge story, but it's ongoing. So I put it aside. And I think that's when I finished up on Borrowed Fame, or I think I was writing Hidden History 3. I think I was concentrating on that mostly. But then my brother died. I lost my brother to this you know, narrative. And so it became personal for me. And in January 2022, so I kind of, that's what, you know, triggered me and really inspired me to make sure I finished the book and dedicated it to him and to all the other people who were, you know, who lost their lives to this, you know, the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world. So that's how it came about. And but as I said, you know, there was no logical way to end this a book like this because it's still ongoing. So I try to take it right up to, you know, publication time, but it's, you know, invariably things have already happened since it's been published that I would have included in the book.
Right. Like it's still unfolding. The knowledge is still unfolding. More evidence is coming out, more citizens' inquiries. It really is just kind of a flood of information. It's hard to keep up with it, which is why I recommend this book, because you've laid it out very clearly with, you know, easily footnoted things that you, how it kind of developed from like the beginning of the virus, all this stuff. But your brother passed away, I think it was in Santa Barbara, right? It was, and it was no, possibly because of the protocol, not COVID itself.
Yeah, no, it was in Virginia, where I live, Northern Virginia. But they've had a lot of cases out there in Santa Barbara in California. But yes, it was definitely, he was absolutely perfectly healthy. There was no question in my mind he would have lived to be 100. He never had any health issues really. And, but he was a hypochondriac and he had those kinds of issues. And I was kind of his, you know, I kind of took care of him, even though he was older than me, but, and he called an ambulance like he used to do for really frivolous things, unfortunately, in the middle of the night. And he was in the hospital by the time I learned about it. And I'm sure the first question they asked him was, it was an unrelated issue, but, the first question they asked him, I'm sure, was, are you vaccinated? And when he told them no, they fast-tracked him. And I've heard from so many other people, they do the exact same thing. I've had some of these people on my shows. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a wife on who lost her husband the exact same way. First thing they wanted was, he vaccinated? No. So they took him away, and she couldn't even give them his medical history. They weren't interested. All they were interested in was, he vaccinated? And with my brother, they just gave him one of those 90% false positive PCR tests. Oh, which gave them, you know, shockingly, even though he was asymptomatic, which that term has been popularized now and people just parrot it. It's like, asymptomatic mean not sick, because that's what it means. You're not sick. Right. And so they've come to me with, well, you know, that, you know, you may not be sick, but you are sick. You just don't know.
Right.
Let us tell you. So let's give him a test that's a 90% false positive, which they did to him. And shockingly enough, he tested positive. And they claimed he had COVID pneumonia. Again, how do you have pneumonia with no symptoms? I mean, I don't know. But so that was January 6th, and, ironically, the 1 year anniversary of that. And in 2 weeks exactly, he died on January 20th. I never got to see him because they quarantined people. And all the people I've talked to, it's the same in every hospital. Usually it's 21 days. So he died, and they killed him in 14 days. They gave him remdesivir and put him on a ventilator, even though I talked to the doctors and nurses over the phone and said, absolutely do not do that. They don't care. And all the other people I've talked to, it's the same story. And the families aren't there. So we can't monitor it. We can't.
It's incredible.
You know, it's horrible. And you don't get to say goodbye to them. And of course, it's a horrible tragedy. And it's something I still deal with. I've gone to therapy about it because I don't know why I feel guilty. There's nothing I could have done. They had armed guards, although I had some people in the conspiracy world saying, well, I would have gone and got my brother out of there. Well, you know, you had to get past armed guards. And that's the way it is, unfortunately.
Can verify everything, Don. I know all that stuff. You talked to Sheila Skiba, right?
So yes,
she,
yes.
That was
yes.
Rob Skiba. Yes. I talked to her as well. But I'm going through, my mom like was just really the last 2 or 3 years were a nightmare for her. But I didn't take the shot. I couldn't get past it. The Stanford Hospital couldn't get past the armed guards to see her. Yeah. And just last week, she was in the hospital at El Camino Hospital. I got a call on the phone. Literally, the doctor said, we've diagnosed your mother with COVID. I recommend 3 rounds of remdesivir. They literally, get this, it gets even worse, Don, because you would know, you're familiar with the story. But then I said, there's no way you're giving my mother that Fauci I said very foul words. And I felt like it was a car salesman calling me on my cell phone. And I said, no, and do you know what was interesting? She didn't come back with anything. She didn't say, oh, you know, William, you just don't know how the facts or anything. She just stopped. Yeah. Like I caught her.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, this is incredible. This is like the highest level medical fit system in California, Northern California and Silicon Valley, hustling some remdesivir still.
Yeah.
Off they're the
still,
charts.
So, they're still doing it. And that the lawsuits that are starting seem to be starting, the ones I've heard about, the two lawyers out there, and I think there's a couple of women too that I think they're all out of California for some reason. But it's, as far as I know, it's happening that way everywhere. I've heard from people that, again, my brother's story really resounded with them because so many people had been through the same thing. And that it helped, you know, to hear that, to know it wasn't, you know, an isolated thing. And it really wasn't anything I could have done. But that's, again, that's part of why the story is so sad, is that we got to that point where, you know, people, and I, you know, I had talked to my, you know, by my brother, you know, again, because of his, whatever he had, you know, super OCD and attention span problems and everything. He wasn't hearing a lot of what I was saying, because I had talked about remdesivir to him, because he would call me all the time and I would be ranting about various things that he, you know, kind of understood maybe, but he, you know, he'd listen to me because he wanted to talk to somebody. He was lonely. And I had talked about remdesivir and I told him that people were being killed in the hospitals. And I said, so you need to, because I knew what a hypochondriac he was. I said, so that's the last place you want to be. And then, but there was nothing I could do. And somebody calls an ambulance, you don't live with them in the middle of the night and he's in there. And once he's in there, that's it. And you don't get to, you don't get to check on him. You don't get to do monitor anything. And they don't listen to you when you tell them over the phone. And you know, Sheila Skiba, I mean, she documented thoroughly all the conversations she had, and she did get to see Rob, but it was pointless because he was already out, you know, unconscious. She never got to see him conscious again. So there's so many of these tragedies that we don't know how many there are. And that's just one part of the story. Right. That doesn't talk about all the people that died from the vaccines, right, or, you know, that we don't even know, or the people that, you know, or that's why this is really a two, three part story. The first part, and this, I think the first part of the story is something I think that most of the other people, Naomi Wolf, my friend Naomi Wolf, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Peter McCullough, like that I've had on my shows, Alex Berenson, they concentrate mainly on the vaccine, which is good, and the dangers of it, how they're covering up, and maybe to some extent the hospital protocol, not as much, but mainly on the vaccine, which is good. But none of them do what I did. I took this back from the very beginning. Part A, the first part of this is when they introduced COVID. Okay, if you're Sherlock Holmes, you're investigating something. Okay, let's see, where did it come from? Now, the Republicans, of course, are distracting us and trying to get down the rabbit hole of China, China, China. They covered up the lab leak theory because they're pushing the idea that that COVID is a bioweapon. I'm telling you that COVID-19 has never been proven to exist. They have never produced isolates. And the CDC tells you that. And the FDA tells you that. I have it in my book, where a woman in Canada filed a Freedom of Information Act suit for documentation of the isolates used to develop the PCR vaccine and a PCR test. And they wrote back to her and said, well, you know, we were unable to obtain isolates for COVID-19. So we simulated COVID-19. With remnants of the regular coronavirus, which of course is what it is. It's a common cold, and it's what's been weaponized is the response to it. So this COVID-19 is not any kind, and I've pointed out many times, COVID-19 is called COVID-19 because they name these things for whatever year it came out. So that was a 2019 strain of the yearly coronavirus. My question, and nobody else is asking, is where what happened to COVID-20 and COVID-21 and COVID-22? It's just all COVID-19 now, and it shows no signs of ever going away. But the lies have started from the very beginning. So I talk about how it started in China, and we were subjected to this monstrous lie that, you know, that people were dropping dead in the streets and all the science fiction stuff, and the video of the woman nonsensically walking around and spitting on doorknobs and door handles, and why would anybody do that? And nailing people shut inside their houses when they had open window, you know, windows right there that they could have got. I mean, just crazy stuff that makes no sense. And as I put in the book, a Chinese source, Chinese media, not American media, would later admit just kind of quietly acknowledge, well, you know, in all these cases, we were including cases of pneumonia and flu as COVID. And then in Italy, that really scared people. They quarantined the entire country, right? And you had the first, one of the many lies was you had those ominous photos of coffins coming out, and it was promulgated in the media very prominently. And what happened? Online journalists discovered, hey, this is a photo from 10 years before in another part of the world. It has nothing to do with it. They never apologized. They just keep up the fear porn. And we heard thousands and thousands of people are dying there in Italy. Oh, my God. You had to quarantine the country. Well, again, look at the source. I have it in my book. Italian media quietly acknowledged later, well, you know, actually 99% of these people were old people that died of other things. So that's the lie from the very beginning. And it started from there. And very few people that even talk about this go back to the beginning. They start from the premise that, well, COVID-19 is a real thing. You know, and people did die. Well, yeah, people died, but they didn't die of COVID-19 until they prove it exists. They can't prove it. They died of pneumonia. They died of flu, which, by the way, you know, a bunch of us were accused early on, still think it's just the flu. We were taunted with that. Well, apparently it was just the flu because in the fall of 2020, they told us the flu disappeared.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What happened to the flu? I mean, how does that happen? So obviously they were just mixing up these things and attributing, as many as 80,000 people have died from the yearly flu before. It happens, especially older people. They were attributing deaths from the flu to common cold, especially with older people and people that had other comorbidities. And they just kept compiling these fake stats to make the public believe that there was this pandemic instead of a plandemic. And that we had to develop a vaccine. And I also go into the history of the tabletop exercises, which go back to 2001, the dark winter exercise. And it's no accident that when Joe Biden, you know, literally stumbled into the presidency, his first winter, they had him walking around babbling about it's going to be a dark winter. Because they do these kinds of things. Dark winter was the first tabletop exercise where Bill Gates, World Economic Forum, CDC, WHO, all the usual suspects, they get together and they decided, how are we going to combat? You know, we're in danger of that's another thing. They predicted these. So many people were predicting a pandemic, which made no sense. We're in great danger. We have to do something about what if a virus escapes from China? It's always escaping from China in these tabletop exercises. We have to develop.
So they already had it pinned on China. Back from these exercises. And Fauci said, I just played this yesterday or the day before. Fauci specifically said there's going to be a release in Trump. How did he know that in 2019?
Yeah. And he also said before Trump came, when Trump was elected, he said, you know, the Trump administration is going to have to deal with a pandemic health crisis or something. Why would anybody say that when it had been 100 years since the Spanish flu? So many things, and we had a series of these tabletop exercises, starting with Dark Winter and culminating eventually in Agenda 201, which happened, I think, October 2019, right before the actual COVID hit.
It looked like the head of the CIA was there. Like, what was her name? I forgot her name. But like, they had some bigwigs on there. Avril Haines.
And it happened right after Kerry Mullis, the guy who invented the PCR test and was very concerned that people like Fauci, who he hated, and I have all the comments about him out there. He knew what an evil guy Fauci was, but he was concerned that people were going to try to use this PCR test. And he said that this test, it will give you any results you want. So and it's the guy, not a conspiracy theorist, the guy that invented the test, and he died very conveniently right before all of this hit. So he wasn't around to, you think that they probably still would have demonized him, but it's kind of harder to demonize somebody who invented the thing that you're basing the entire foundation on. But once it started, you just look at what happened. They prepared for this. Everything was to introduce the vaccine. And that's what the production was. They claim that this incredible boogeyman, COVID-19, was out there, this shadowy thing that you couldn't see. It's more than terrorism. You know, when they invented the terrorism thing, we're at war with terror. We don't know who anybody named Muhammad, I guess, is suspect. But
we're on war of actual terror. We're against terror itself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not a person, but just terror.
No,
it's incredible. Yeah.
No, and it's invisible. Now it's invisible. So what's more frightening than an invisible thing? And then you have they really, I think, hit on something in terms of nothing had ever worked so well for them before. But this is, you know, the fear, and they you know, people obviously are terrified about their health and their lives, and naturally, and so they are so willing to do whatever authorities say. And you know, they had those tests. I can't remember the name of the guy that did the experiment, but years ago, where they did these experiments with people, and they found that 80-20 split I talk about a lot, whether survival of the richest, bullyocracy. I use that all the time in terms of it's like a casino odds where you have 80% losers and 20% winners. That's the way the system seems to work. But those 80%, you see that figure in these experiments where they did experiments on people's obedience, and they basically had experiments to determine, you know, who would obey authority figures, even when what they were being told to do made no sense at all. And basically they found that 80% of people generally will obey any order from authority figure.
Right. Milgram and Ash, right? Those are
the two big ones.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that can't, you saw that play out here. So, you know, put your mask on when you go into a restaurant, but you can take it off when you're at your table. You know, things like that make no sense at all, that people, you know, just sit there and say, what? You know, stay 6 feet apart from each other, even though the guy who invented the 6 foot figure in England just, you know, kind of said, well, you know, we had to come up with some figure. He took that out of the air. There's no science involved in that at all. That's the kind of thing. We're going to have to shut down businesses that sell products if they're small. They're small businesses, they have to shut down. And if you try to open it to make a living, we're going to prosecute you. But, you know, the national change, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, they can sell the same product with no restrictions, just no problem at all. Again, those are orders that nobody, very few of some of us did, but we were, I mean, that's the way, the most disillusioning thing about this whole thing has been to realize how outnumbered we are, and how, because I didn't think it was quite this bad. And again, the orders, just like the experiment, were so nonsensical often, you know, and once the vaccine came out, okay, well, first, now this is going to stop you from getting COVID. But once it became apparent that it wasn't, well, you know, it makes the symptoms better. Keep getting a booster. Keep getting COVID. Right. And keep getting a booster.
It boosts your immune system, actually. It doesn't. I mean, some of this stuff is unbelievable when you look back at it. What they got away with is off the charts. Safe and effective. They were just propagandizing people like it was the Ministry of Truth for 3 years. And some of those businesses have not come back. You can go to San Francisco, yes, once vibrant, kind of city of shopkeepers in a lot of ways, kind of like what they called old London, and it's boarded up. Union Square used to be just this great kind of go-to shopping place. It's empty. It's a disgrace, like what they've done. This is just one city.
Oh, they destroyed New York. I mean, you've heard so many things, but you know, New York was like the cultural mecca of the country, you know, of the world. And you know, it's the damage and that's why when I talk about the economic damage in there, it's hard to tell, because we still, I've tried to get as much information as I could. And I had great researchers in this. I have, you know, three people that helped me a lot, Chris Graves, Peter C. Kosh, and Bob Wilson, who were, you know, they really help when I'm doing these things. They come up with it. But we could only find out so much about what was in these stimulus bills, these trillions of dollars that were handed out. We had tidbits coming out that somehow Tom Brady bought a new yacht and Kanye West got something, and, you know, crazy stuff like that. And we know that some sports teams or leagues got something. I still suspect, for instance, that I can't believe the NCAA didn't get a huge payoff to cancel March Madness. I can't believe the NBA and the NFL didn't get, and Major League Baseball. So far, not much is coming out about that. I suspect that it will eventually, maybe, if we can find it, but we don't know where a lot of this money went. And I describe it, you know, I recount what I can in the book about people, some people taking advantage of it and profiting from it, but they opened the door to that. And as you said, so many of these small businesses have never come back. We don't know what the final toll will be in terms of the devastation. We don't know what the real unemployment rate is because they've been lying about it since 19.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
90s. And ironically, Donald Trump, one of the many radical things he said when he ran for president, he called that out. He goes, you know, that's a fake unemployment rate. I mean, some people think it's as much as 40% because they only count the people that are currently collecting unemployment benefits. So long-term unemployment there. But then as soon as Trump became president, he started bragging about the same phony stats. I mean, that's what they
classic Trump.
Yeah, classic Trump.
Always
yeah.
does the same thing. Still bragging about warp speed. Like he was takes credit for it, saved 100 millions of lives. He still hasn't come off that, which is a real question. Like, why? How did they get that many shots out to that many people that fast is a real question.
Yeah, and that's the... And I go, the reason I have Trump on the cover too, and I know what it is with Trump. I catch hell, you know, from both sides, but especially people that still somehow cling to having faith in him. But I think those, the people, you know, that we put on the cover, I think those are
responsible parties. Like they're all, Trump's involved in this whole fiasco, Trump and Biden administrations.
Absolutely.
Better or worse, yeah.
And they're basically, you know, those are the primary figures that were involved. Trump, Biden, Fauci, and Gates. They were the face of this, the Mount Rushmore of COVID. And so I go over Trump a lot in this because Trump was presented the entire time he was presented as being in opposition to this. That was the mantra, and the people that were pushing it, the establishment, were basically saying Trump's not taking it seriously, even though Trump was the one issuing the orders. Trump was the one who criticized Fauci and never fired him. So again, Trump was playing what I call Trumpenstein. He was being the actor. He was acting. And then when eventually he developed the phoniest case of COVID in the history of the world, he certainly didn't have any COVID-19. When they made a big, and the whole idea of the production was to say, see, this is a guy, he wasn't really wearing his mask. He was kind of belittling stuff. He wasn't taking Fauci seriously. Look what happened. See, if you don't wear your mask, it could happen to you too. And then the people that support him thought, well, surely after this, he's going to use hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin because he's been talking about he was using hydroxychloroquine and caught hell for it, right? But no, Trump throws him a curveball. He gets out of the hospital and he says, I took Regeneron. And of course, he has a financial stake in that, as does Anthony Fauci. Wow. You mentioned hydroxychloroquine. And that was Trump in a nutshell, that he was there talking about we should be able to open it. He's the president of the United States. He did nothing. He presided over all this. And so he deserves to be up there. He may have said some things that we all agreed with at points, kind of ridiculing it. But again, he was the president. He never said he didn't talk about, hey, you know, can we find some documentation for this COVID-19 isolates? That's science. He never did that. Could he said, why are we crediting? Why we keep claiming like, you know, that Italy was struck by this and they tell you 99% of these people died from something else. He never did that. He just, and that's Trump. And that, unfortunately, William, is the story of this. He deserves to be at the heart. And I have the whole sordid story, how he would say one thing and then do something else or contradict himself. But that's him on every issue. But and certainly Bill Gates is front and center with this, because this, ultimately this can be looked at as a eugenicist operation, because all these people are eugenicists and they all are on the record, especially Bill Gates, who you know, drools like a lunatic, you know, when he's talking about millions of people dying. He can't stop his glee. He's probably the most enthusiastic eugenicist I've ever seen. And he's at the front of this. He's constantly talking about millions of people dying and more pandemics and being prepared. And he's in the center of all those tabletop exercises, nonsensically preparing for something they should have had no reason to be anticipating. But he's there. And Fauci, of course, is the one of the worst bureaucrats in the history of the world.
He's destroyed an entire generation. He's made everybody sick, the opposite of what he's supposed to do.
do. No, and his history goes back to AIDS when he did the same thing with AIDS, where he pushed, he was right in the center of that, and he pushed this nonsensical HIV test, which, and there's the same kind of questionable background for HIV as there is for COVID-19. Was HIV a thing? I don't know, but again, you had people back then, asymptomatic people, people who weren't sick, but especially once it spread. And why did it just spread through the gay community? That made no sense. But once it started doing that, gays especially were terrified. And they all started going, well, I got to get an HIV test, even though I feel fine. But I get it. But once, oh, you're HIV. Oh, my God, I'm HIV positive. What do you got to do? Got to give you AZT, which was a remdesivir of that era. AZT, failed cancer drug. Fauci pushed it. That's when everybody got sick. That's when they died from after taking AZT. And as soon as they stopped giving people AZT, AIDS disappeared.
Wow, that's incredible.
Because that's what it was. And Fauci was right in the middle of that. His reputation didn't suffer at all. And he started doing the same thing again. Instead of HIV, he's pushing the PCR test, which the guy who invented it repudiated and then dies mysteriously before all this starts. So this, you know, people wonder why we talk about conspiracies. I mean, all this stuff. I mean, how conspiratorial do you have to get? But this has transformed America. I call it America 2.0 that we're in now. And I think generally America 2.0 was born after 9/11. But, if it can be thought of as a particular point in time. But with the last 3 years, I mean, we used to talk about the frog in the boiling water analogy. Well, you know, the frog has been boiled. He's disappeared. It's evaporated now. So gradualism's out the window. Everything's warp speed. And just look at what has happened in the last 3 years. You have ironclad tyranny. You have everything. There's so many Orwellian analogies out there. And you talked about, just people questioning things. I mean, social media, the censorship really began in earnest. Well, they used Sandy Hook too, but they really used questioning, COVID deniers, as they called it. They took a lot of people off social media. Even now, like my show that I will be on later today, I protest at live streams every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. I love to use YouTube because that's where most of the people watch it. But if I talk about COVID, like today, I'll have to take it down because I think Sherry Tenpenny's going to be on, hopefully. But because if I leave it up there, they suspend my channel. I can talk about anything else. Pretty much.
Right. Except the election. It's the election and COVID. Strikes for both of those. Which ties into this whole COVID situation. Once they did the lockdown, I think that the Democrats were like, mail-in ballots. We got to do mail-in ballots because people can't go to vote. So they were using this to for all kinds of purposes. Everybody was making money. But Bill Gates is really the kingpin. He's behind so much nefarious stuff internationally. Through the Bill Gates Foundation, it's really, and you go through that in this book. You talk about this whole Sears thing that's coming up. So, we're not out of the tunnel yet. Like, they've got another one planned for 2025, baby. So, people need to get ready.
I mean, I think that, once they saw how, I mean, this is because this, again, this is why, we really can liken this to World War III because, and it's the first really worldwide, where the other two wars were limited to Europe and World War II, you throw in Japan. But this war is all there because that's the saddest thing of all is that the entire world was shut down in a week or so and it was locked down in a week or so and nobody protested and they didn't need a single cop. They didn't need a single soldier. They didn't have to fire a single shot. The world rolled over. I mean, this was, remember, at that time, the Yellow Jackets in France were everywhere. Protesting everywhere. The Yellow Jackets didn't, they didn't protest this. Nobody, Putin, Putin's the guy that supposedly everybody hates and he's a rebel. He's not going, he went along with it. You had a few naysayers, Bolsonaro and Belarus, the guy that ran the religion. But I mean, they eventually came around and some of them were killed, especially in Africa. Some of those people didn't go along with it. And I have it in the book. It is what it is. They died very mysteriously and they all happened to be people that were opposing vaccine mandates. But I read the original before the vaccine. That's why people don't look at that part of the story. The COVID narrative. What is COVID itself? Why did everybody buy this? Why did everybody start putting on masks all over the world? Everybody letting their loved ones die in nursing homes, not seeing them, people not hugging family members anymore, you know, doing elbow bumps and things like that. It's like, this is human touch that's necessary. You know, so we permitted things like in this country, a mother being arrested in a park for letting her kid play in an empty park, that kind of stuff. And people, again, there was no protest. People should have been up in arms, man. This is outrage. What are you doing? And so anything that Orwell dreamed up in 1984 was not at this level. I mean, it just wasn't. And to get to the point where you can not, and to use science, especially to say you're questioning science when their entire, narrative, there's the greatest psyop in the history of the world, is based on a science that repudiates their own, the history, what they claim is, a viral theory. Well, this repudiates everything, because this virus, you either have to say the Republicans are right and this was a weaponized virus that came out of China and you guys are keeping it there. I mean, I don't think that's what happened, but it would have to be. That's the only other alternative. Or it's like, I think this was imaginary. They used boogie words, the boogeyman, the terms, they used fear porn nonstop. And they suspected, and boy, they were right about how people would react to, a health, a pandemic. And they had to be beside themselves with glee. I don't think even they could have expected it to be this. I mean, there wasn't a single protest in America other than that brief one. I think it was in Michigan, which was demonized, and there weren't very many people there because they had some Confederate flags and that kind of stuff. And they instantly, media just, made fun of it. And there weren't enough people there again to make a difference. And then after January 6th, when we saw what happened there, and the people are still in prison and being subjected to draconian sentences, denied all due process, people, I think, are scared to protest anything, especially in America. But, when you have people losing their businesses and their jobs, and you did, like everyone, that gym owner and the Tucker Carlson ad many times, the courageous salon owner. In New Jersey, and the salon owner in Dallas, the Shelley Luther, I think her name was. You had people, restaurant owners here or there, but what you didn't see was when they did that, you should have had all the other business owners supporting them. You should have had hundreds, if not thousands, of people out in droves protesting in support of them. You didn't see anybody. They were all terrified and staying inside with their masks on, ignoring their loved ones, not, having, I say that when they had some of those edicts in New York and elsewhere, where they were saying, don't have more than however many people at your Thanksgiving or Christmas gathering. I said many times, I don't know how the Soviet Union really was, or Nazi Germany, or Mao's China, but I doubt very seriously if any of those countries ever tried to limit the number of people, went that far where, you can't have more than 10 people at your home for the holiday. I mean, I think we went beyond anything that any government in the history of the world has ever done, but it pretty much was around the world as well. But this was a tyranny that the world has never seen. And boy, more people than not here, especially in America, they lapped it up. I was demonized, called dangerous. One of my nieces canceled me. So many people that had me on their talk shows for Hidden History and Survival of the Richest, things like that, and written reviews for my book, glowing reviews. They deleted me as friends, said I was dangerous, called me names, and all because of this, because I'm questioning this. Because in the beginning, very few of us were. Because I right from the beginning, when they April 2020, when the CDC sent out a directive to all hospitals telling them to, hey, you're to list the cause of death as COVID-19, even when the patient hasn't been tested. And I published that on Facebook before they started shadow banning me. And I said, do you understand what this means? And again, most people just didn't get it. Trust the science. And they just, they shouted you down. And you saw what happened. So,
It's still happening. These protocols, the kill protocols, are still there. And the things, the incentives, the perverse incentives are still there through the CARES Act. So people are still being probably killed by what's all started back in 2020. So
it's they are. And
you wrote a whole chapter on the new normal. This is the new normal. Unless people protest or get the truth. That's why this is very important. This book is so important, is that they masked the truth. They knew that there was going to be an information disinformation war from the get-go. You can tell from event 201. And so people need to know the truth and how bad these people were lying. They are very evil. Fauci and Gates, for sure. Just total monsters. Fauci knows what he's doing, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, these people definitely know what they're doing. This was not a case where there was any mistake about it. They have a history, a track record of doing this. And it's, you know, it's amazing that you have a group of evil people that are sworn to this theory of eugenicists, where the theory is that there are too many people, and they're basically too many of the wrong kind of people. And it really fits in. It's, I don't want to get into a longer discussion, but I talk a lot about how really eugenicism was born with evolution, because the whole survival of the fittest theory, and who's fit?
Who's they're not the fittest. Fit? Yeah, they're the Bill Gates. Yeah, Bill Gates with bitch tits and loves Epstein.
I don't get any fitter.
He's the fittest for all of us.
They don't get any fitter. But right. So you had the and I've written them in other books about how you had people like early eugenicists like Woodrow Wilson, who is governor of New Jersey. He passes the first forced sterilization laws. It started with stuff like that, where they used, okay, well, you know, that maybe she's a woman of ill repute back in those days. You know, I guess if you had sex at all, there's a reason to sterilize you, or maybe your IQ is too low, or you're too poor, family background, alcoholism. They used any excuse they could, but, it's horrible what they did. And again, it's a slippery slope, because I've argued with people, well, don't, you know, people, the right people should breed. Yeah, but you know, you realize what a slippery slope that, who's determining who the right people are. And that's what happens when you start down that road, but it's all based on that, is that they think that there's way too many people in the world. And Alex Jones has a point when he talks about they think humans are a scourge, and they do seem to want to merge with AI and become immortal, like half machines or something. But that seems to be what they want to do. But they constantly talk about this. And this has resulted in apparently the dream they've long. It's interesting. You have the Georgia Guidestones, who were put up and was blown up in the middle of this nonsense of this COVID narrative. And somehow they don't know who did it. They carted the crime scene away. There were no video cameras caught. You know, it's an act of terrorism or vandalism at least. But
they had video. They had video of it exploding, but they don't have the video of people putting the explosive in.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
How does that make sense? But the reason why that's apropos here is because they talk about, you know, limiting, and on the Georgia Guidestones, they talk about limiting the number of people on Earth by a certain date or whatever. Yeah, and
to 500 million, right? So we're way over their limit.
That's a whole lot of people got to die to get that. And so when you have something like this, when a warp speed vaccine, when it apparently is killing, who knows? I don't know. The death rate went up 40% in 2021, according to the insurance industry. That's a cataclysmic figure that, it's like we went to war with the aliens or something. I mean, that's, if it goes up 5%, that would be earth shattering. 40%, no one's explained.
It's like a Six Sigma. It's so far out of statistical normal. Yeah. The statistics are the bedrock of all the insurance industry, because they can trace deaths over decades. And then you have this immense thing that's still ongoing. It's a hike in death rate all over the world.
Yeah, it's, I think last year or something, for the first time in the history of this country, you had at least four different states that recorded more deaths than births. It's never happened. So this is unprecedented stuff. So if this is happening, and who knows how many people they've killed, like my brother, by hospital protocol, we don't know the number there either, but it's probably pretty large too. So just the vaccines and the hospital protocol alone are apparently killing, and even the vaccines that aren't killing, they're causing myocarditis that nobody had ever heard of before, and even in children, heart diseases, that those people may later die well before their time. They're certainly incapacitated. So we don't know how many people are dying and what the population
I don't think the killed juice was experimental. They've lied about everything. That's actually kind of your summary at the end of the book. But I think that they're lying about the kill shot contents being experimental. I think they've probably experimented on human beings for 20 years and know exactly what the outcomes are for certain people based upon how many different shots you get. Because if you get all your boosters and stuff, you're probably going to die, have an early death of a variety of different ailments, because you'll get vaccine AIDS, turbo cancer, you could get all mellitus. I mean, I think it really is intended to have different outcomes. So it's not everybody dies of a heart attack. It just causes some kind of failure in one part of your body, so that the way this, and that's why Fauci said no autopsies, is because they know what it's going to do. And like your friend, Naomi Wolf, who I follow, I listen to all her stuff, the birth rate is going to go down. So you have an ascending death rate and a declining birth rate, just like the depopulation guys would want. Yeah.
And if you throw in, Naomi and other people have talked about what in the Pfizer documents. John Rappaport did great work on it, but they've talked about how the Pfizer's internal documents show that, the miscarriage rate is through the roof and how this is damaging women's reproductive organs. We know that for already the testosterone levels for males, young males, it's shocking. Like the average young male today has a testosterone level of an 80-year-old or some ridiculous thing like that. They've destroyed men. They've destroyed women. So what does that mean? Fewer births. And now you throw in the transgender movement, which really gained fire in the middle of this COVID thing. What does that have? What do they all have in common? If transgenderism succeeds, and it's succeeding, because more and more kids are being influenced by this propaganda to change their gender, it means fewer babies. Because if boys turn into girls, girls turns into boys. No matter how many fantasies they have about men having birth, no, it's not going to happen. So all of this together, killing lots of people, preventing people from giving birth because of the vaccine, preventing them from giving birth by this hideous, satanic transgenderism agenda, all adds up to fewer people. And that's what the eugenicists want. So it seems to be the end result they want. And of course, the other thing that they want is they want the heavy hand of tyranny here. They want authoritarianism on steroids, as I've called it. And they've got it. They've got people obedient. They've got the media and celebrities wanting to cancel people for being some of those 20% in the experiments that are, you know, want to question these orders from authorities. You're a denier. Okay.
Right. Anti-vaxxer. They'll give you some kind of label, some type of negative label.
Yeah. And so, it's
a scary thing. And that goes back to the Constitution, because I think all that censorship was really a violation of the First Amendment. Because what they're finding is these tech companies there was third parties or either straight from the government, straight from the White House saying, ban this site. That is a violation of basic First Amendment principles.
Right.
That's the Biden administration. Like, people should be really concerned about
that. If you watch some of those congressional hearings, I watched snippets of it, and I can't watch the whole things, but just to see, and not that Republicans are good, because they're not, but to see how bad every Democrat, my old party, is at this point, to watch how they demonize Matt Taibbi, who is, I think he voted for Biden. He's hardly any kind of
left. He's a solid leftist. He's always been on the left.
He wrote for Rolling Stone. I mean, and the other guy too. So
Schellenberger.
I mean, so these guys are hardly conspiracy theorists or whatever, but apparently at least they had some concern about freedom of speech and civil liberties. And that was enough. You just watch the way they were questioned by I talk about Joe McCarthy being demonized, but back in there, those congressional hearings, they were nowhere near as rough on alleged communists as these Democrats have been on people, denying, COVID or denying election results or something like that. And just to watch that play out, I mean, these are your representatives, and you know what you're up against.
It's incredible, too. Making a good point, Don, because it was incredible. They were asking where they got their information, how much money he was making. Yeah. They were questioning, any money that he had. And then they sent the IRS agent to his house while he's testifying. So they're definitely trying to chill anything. I mean, this censorship stuff is real. I mean, the censorship industrial complex that Schellenberger talks about, it's a real threat to the country and our kind of civil rights. If they take away our right to talk, the country's gone, baby. We are over.
No, and it's we are the platforms we have are shows like yours, shows like mine, and that's all we have left, because they've taken social media, and thank goodness, that's why anybody, please, if you want to support me, please subscribe to me on Substack while you still can. Because I fear for that, because it's the last free speech platform, and it's the only place I'm not shadow banned. Like if I post the link for this interview on Facebook and Twitter, it'll maybe get a handful of responses, because especially with the title of this book, they're really blocking it. They don't have to guess at what I'm saying, and so they know what I'm talking about, and so that's really going to be blocked and shadow banned. I can't talk about it. I can talk about it on my show, but then I have to take it down from YouTube. Immediately, I'll live stream it there, because otherwise they'll cancel me. But Substack right now, at least, I'm growing and I'm getting more subscribers and I'm able to write and I promote things there. So people want to follow me.
I'll put a link to your Substack so people can just shoot over there. Substack is now really the kind of almost engine of democratic values where people are talking. They're actually able to post stuff and not get censored. It's really something else. Like it used to be WordPress or even YouTube. Now YouTube is gone, but it's gone. Like I can't even post there. I don't want to be nanny stated to. I never swear. I never really go after anybody. I'm not mean. I'm not like a shock jock. I still get censored. So.
Yeah, I know. It's not that. It's the it's what you're talking about and what your perspective is, and that's why this I try to include all that in the book because people I don't think anybody else is going as far as I go on this. Like I said, I question the validity of, you know, the foundation of all this thing is COVID-19. So I think let's investigate that first, figure out what is that. And if you can't even prove it exists, you know, it's like, okay, and they can't, and it's, it should be a simple thing. I mean, I, as far as I know, any other virus, they can, you have some Dr. Frankensteins that they admit within the last 20 years went to Siberia or something and somehow extracted strains of the 1918 flu. Why? I don't know. If you can think of an innocent or logical reason for that, let me know. But so if they can still get strains of the 1918 flu, Spanish flu, the deadly flu, if they can still get that, but they can't produce a strain of COVID-19, the biggest virus that shut down the world. Right. What does that say?
Was predicted to kill 60 million people. Like they really, like you use the word fear porn. They really had people zapped. The propaganda was really good in the 2020. I think it was different than the other panics that they had because they had this whole Chinese thing. Like, look at this. They're building new medicines. They've got the incinerators up. People are dropping.
Yes.
But they couldn't really verify it. But I think it was, it succeeded. Like all that propaganda. They hired the best people to figure this whole thing out. They had the CIA, they had McKinsey, they had other people doing their kind of intellectual legwork to make sure that it was going to be as effective as possible and that there would be no vaccine hesitancy and all that stuff.
They know what works and they were better than me in terms of I predicted. I said at the beginning, I said, you're taking away sports from men and you're taking away movies from women. You're shutting down Hollywood and shopping and all that. I said, you know, people, the natives are going to get restless, but they never got restless.
They never did. The behavioral sciences, it shows how important the behavioral sciences are. Just like Milgram and Ash, we talked about how it was laid out here. Isolate, mock, all kinds of social things where they did that are kind of, I'm not going to go as far as saying MKUltra, but I think that they had it down where people get in line. And that's kind of like the kind of secret hidden tendrils of control that they really have on to keep a population, a whole population of a country that America prides itself, gun owners, tough guy, man, we all just lay down for these authoritarians. It's really sad. So, I really love this book and great to read through it. And I'm glad that you memorialized it all in this book, 800 footnotes, like I said earlier. People can follow those footnotes. It's all laid out. It's very important for people to remember this so they can't do it again. But anything else you'd like to add or anything you'd like to finish?
No, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Yeah. Again, it's DonaldJeffries.substack.com. That's where you want to go to support me because that's the only place really. I mean, you can still find me on Twitter, I had one guy tell me last week, I've had to follow you 8 different times because they just keep taking followers away and blocking, and Facebook is hopeless. You know, unless I'm publishing something about somebody's birthday or something, but anything that has anything of significance, especially this, first and foremost. So that's where people can support me. And obviously buy the book. Right now, we're holding the book back from Amazon and Barnes & Noble for it's going to be out there very soon. That we thought we'd hold it back for a week or two because people can buy it now through the Lulu link. I think you have that. It was on my Facebook. And that's where people can buy it right now. They can buy the ebook there as well, but it won't cost you anymore. Might even be less. I don't know. But I'll get a greater percentage of the royalties. People ask me all the time, where can I buy your book that you'll make more? And usually I tell them, it's minimal. Just get the best deal you can. But in this case, I will make significantly more if you buy it through there. But again, I appreciate if you buy it anywhere. But if you're wondering where it's at, because if you do a search for it now, you can't find hardly anything. And that may be the case even when it's out there. They may try to block it. But once it goes up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that stuff, then you'll be able to buy it in all the regular places. So if you want to wait for that, that's fine. But right now you can get it, and lots of people have through that link.
It's Lulu.com, right? That's your site on Lulu.
Well, no, it's Midnight Writer News at Lulu.com. But the exact link, probably the easiest way, if you don't follow either on social media, but if you go to Substack, Donald Jeffries at Substack.com, I think it was two posts back where I talked to, you know, you'll see it. My new book rips the mask off of COVID lies or something. In there, right at the beginning, I have the cover and I have the link. Here's where you can go to buy it. So that's the easiest way to do it.
Right. So you'll see this here. This is your Substack, right? So this is the best way to get the book.
Yes,
so I can just do it. I'll put your Substack and then a link to this specific post on Substack as well.
Great.
So
yeah, people can just the link it. Is there, and then people can, you know, can just go right there and order it. It will be out in the regular places, and there's a method to our madness. We're just holding it back for a reason. So
I understand. Don Jeffries, thanks so much for your time. Again, the title of the book is Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World, just published May 2023. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Wayne. Appreciate it.
All right, stay there.